The views and comments expressed on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing.
We have made the start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston, broadcasting to 7 continents, consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday evening Space Show program. I am your host, David Livingston. Thank you for tuning in. We're on the 60-minute format tonight with Dr. Pat Patterson. We're going to be talking about my favorite event of the year, SmallSat Conference, which is coming up in Logan, Utah. There's lots to talk about and for all of you to hear about, and there's still time for you to go. It's August 4th. To August 9th, it's the 32nd conference. A couple of just really quick announcements. Our toll-free number, if you'd like to call in, 1-866-687-7223. Email drspace@thespaceshow.com. Don't forget that we are a listener-funded program, and your support keeps us on the air, so do check us out, and on our website, you'll see the Support the Space Show button. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, and our nonprofit parent is onegiantleapfoundation.org. Remember, if you're a federal U.S. taxpayer, you do get a deduction for your gift. The same is true if you pay California taxes. We're a public benefit corporation in California. And again, if you like what you hear, you like the guests, you like mingling with the guest on our toll-free line or through email, please do support us, because that is what keeps us going. I want to skip most of all the other announcements. There's just a couple of things I do want to say. Number one, remember that we podcast, and you can pick all of this up off of our Listen Live button. It tells you how to listen to all of our podcasts, including Alexa. And there's also instructions on our website for that as well. And do remember also that we have just a couple of rules about downloading shows and things of that nature. So you can do it, but don't do anything commercial with the program. And don't edit or cut the programs and put anything up on YouTube or any other website. And written transcripts are not permitted, even if they're for your own personal use. And do read our full statement on the bottom of every Space Show and OneGiantLeapFoundation.com website page. And SmallSat has a website, smallsat.org. And our guest tonight, as I said, is Dr. Pat Patterson, who's been with us now for many, many years doing this show, and is a great guy and a reason to go to Logan all on its own is just to sit down and talk with him for a while. He has more than 30 years' experience in space, in the space industry. He has a very broad history of space systems engineering for upper atmosphere research, as well as small sats and mission operations planning and directing. And he is currently the director of the Space Dynamics Lab at Utah State. And he's chairman of the Small Sat Conference, plus a lot of other things. You can read his full bio on the website to save time and talk with him more. I'm not going to read his full bio. But when I started going to SmallSat, maybe it was 10 years ago, you know, there might be 300, 350 people there at most, and it had been going on for a number of years. Now it's close to, or maybe will surpass, 3,000 people this year. It's taken over entire buildings at Utah State. It is not the same conference that I discovered when I was early in the days of the Space Show history. Pat, welcome back to the Space Show. It's really great to talk to you and to hear about the continued amazing success of the SmallSat industry, but also the conference under your leadership and your staff's leadership. Tell us how things are going for 2018.
Well, it's great right now. You know, things are happening here in Logan, but I can't believe it is only 4 days away. I can't believe it's been a year already. You know, each year after the conference gets over, we spend a month or so, and we talk amongst ourselves and sort of figure out and settle what a theme should be. And then we start working keynote speakers, and all of a sudden, wham, it's conference time. The conference starts this Saturday. We'll run from this Saturday through about noon on the next Thursday with our pre-conference workshop going Saturday and Sunday. Then we have the main conference, which runs from about 1 o'clock on August the 6th, that's Monday, through Thursday at noon. And you're right, you know, the conference just continues to grow, but it's because we're growing right along with the industry. Last year we had, I think we had 2,550 attendees. This year I probably would expect some moderate growth, maybe 2,800 attendees, something like that. It's always hard to tell because we get so many people who walk up on site and register on site that we're not often ready for, but it'll be a number like that.
Can people still attend 4 days out? Is there still room to come?
Oh yeah. We're good. You can still sign up.
And find a place relatively close to stay?
There's some places we have some rooms. Yeah, I can talk about that in a little bit, but there's still some rooms available.
Okay.
They're not maybe optimal, but they're there's places to stay.
Okay.
But you know, this year we've got 22 technical sessions now.
Wow.
So if you remember back to the day, we used to have probably 10, something like that. But we've got 22 separate technical sessions. In each one of those, there could be six or so different presentations in each one. We've added 20 more exhibits this year, so now we're up to 215 exhibits. I don't know if you remember last year, we actually moved out into the field house. So we used to take over the entire student center there on campus, but we added a whole lot more space we added on the field house. So, and then this year we found another way to add another 20 exhibits. So we're up to like 215. Excuse me. We've got flash talks that happen in there. We've got poster sessions, a couple days of poster sessions. We've got side meetings that we help people put together, and we've got 26 official side meetings. Of course, there really are dozens and dozens and dozens of side meetings that, you know, people hold that we don't call official. But we'll have 700 organizations at least this year represented, and probably over 40 countries represented from around the world. It's just an amazing time right now in our industry, and we're glad to be a part of it. We're almost ready. I would say we're getting pretty close. We've got a small punch list of final details that we're still working, but we'll be ready for Saturday morning. There's no question about that.
And now, the student program is I was just going to ask you, the student program is still intact and booming?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll give away another $30,000 this year.
And that goes right to the students. It doesn't go to any bureaucracy.
Doesn't go to anybody.
Right?
The only thing that we do is we give a free conference admission to the professor who worked with the winning student. So they would get a free admission to one of the conferences in the future. Other than that, all of the $30,000 in cash prizes go to the students. Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, so in our theme this year, it is pretty cool. I mean, our industry is seeing significant growth, right? You talk about it all the time on your show, but
every year
more satellites are being launched. There are affordable, dedicated launch vehicles that we have been waiting on for decades that are now starting to come online. We're so excited about that. Ground stations and data analysis centers are being stood up. It's just really a great time to be a part of the industry. Now, as more of our systems start to become operational and we see good on-orbit results, more and more often small satellites are starting to be considered for these high-value missions. But how do we deliver a successful mission but still maintain the two imperatives of the small satellites, which is maintaining affordability and the responsive timeline? And that's really what we're getting at with our theme this year on delivering mission success. Now, I'm super excited about our keynote this year, because he really gets it, and he is perfect fit for our theme. He will speak at 1 o'clock on Monday, August the 6th, in the ballroom, and it's Dr. Thomas Zurbuchen. He is the Associate Administrator for NASA's Science Mission Directorate, and he really understands the need for mission success. He has a lot of eyes on him. But he also understands the need for affordability and responsive timelines, right? Before he joined NASA, you probably remember, he was at the University of Michigan.
Right.
He performed research in solar and heliospheric physics. He was involved in several, I know, of NASA's high-value science missions or high-visibility missions. Ulysses is one that I can remember. I think that was a joint NASA, and I think it was a joint with the European Space Agency mission that did some characterization of the heliosphere. Messenger, which was NASA's mission to Mercury to do chemical composition, geology, magnetic field, he was involved in that. He was also involved in the ACE mission, the Advanced Composition Explorer. That's NASA's mission to study the solar winds, so that was pretty cool. He's also been a part of two National Academy studies, and he served on a bunch of these technology definition teams for NASA. So he really gets it. We're really excited to have him and hear what he has to say about where the industry's heading. NASA itself and some of the things he's doing, he is really high on small sats. And I know that he is working with some of his divisions to help stand up small satellite programs to basically augment some of the things that are happening on the bigger missions. So, anyway, we're excited to have him here.
They're even talking about small sats on planetary missions going way, way out there. So
yeah, isn't that great? Isn't that great?
Even mind-boggling.
You know, Japan, in the last few years, have launched one or two different missions to, you know, go. I think they went to an asteroid maybe with one, I want to say, if I remember right. But, you know, they're doing some pretty deep missions with these little small satellites, and it's pretty cool stuff.
When we talk a lot about this stuff on the space show, a lot of this forms around entrepreneurials and startups. So are they represented? Is there any specific programming around the entrepreneurial and startup segment of the small sat industry?
We don't set anything aside, although they are certainly well represented. You know, we still have a large student contingent. We think it's very, very important to develop the next generation of scientists and engineers, so we're still kind of high on that. Of course, the small companies and the new startups, this whole new space stuff, the commercial enterprises, the investors, and the things they're doing with the constellations, they will all be here. And it's pretty cool to see some of the things that they're doing. And then, of course, you've got, you know, the military and the science agencies, European Space Agency, JAXA, NASA, all of those folks will be here. But the way we break out the sessions is more around technical topics. It's not so much around the different sectors of the industry. It's more around technical topics. So if you went to a session, you know, you might see a NASA person get up and talk. You might see an AFRL, Air Force Research Lab person get up and talk. And then you could have somebody getting up, you know, from Planet and talking about their systems. It's a mix of all of those things.
Are they single track, or are you going to have multiple tracks?
No, we're still staying single track. We are just squeezing in as many as we possibly can. Like I said, we've got 22 technical sessions. I have always felt, I don't know, rightly or wrongly, that a single track conference is the way to go. I always feel like when I'm in a session and I know there's some other cool session that I want to be in, I feel like I'm missing something. And so I don't. That's probably just my way of thinking, but we've never been anything other than a single track conference.
No, I agree with you, but with 22, I thought you might start compromising a little bit.
No, we're getting close, but I'm trying hard. I'm pushing back as hard as I can.
What are the special sessions in science and future directions and things like that? That's a whole nother segment, right?
Well, yeah, so maybe I could walk you through, maybe it would kind of help if I just kind of walked you through the sessions on the different days. Would that be useful?
Yeah, I'll sort of give them an idea of what it is.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. So the pre-conference workshop, so if you'll remember back, Jordy Pushwari, when he was at Cal Poly, they had this CubeSat workshop that they had.
Right.
And so they held it at Cal Poly. It was great. And then they wanted to branch out and have it. They decided they wanted to have it twice a year, and they moved one of those to Logan. So they had one of the their CubeSat workshops here in Logan. After a few years, we decided just logistically, it just made a whole lot more sense to wrap that into the conference itself. So now we have a two-day session, Saturday and Sunday, which is the pre-conference workshop, and it includes all of those things, right? So there will be educational programs discussed. a whole lot of lessons learned. It's really about education, academic, and science projects. We've got instruments and science sessions. We've got one special session on radiation this year, which I'm excited about. Some really great radiation papers. There's obviously the advanced concepts and the year in review and the upcoming missions, which talk about the great missions that have been flown over the past year and what we see coming up on the launch pad over the next year. Now, the pre-conference runs every day from 8:30 to 6, but what I wanted to mention is the last couple of years we have actually held, because we didn't have enough space, we actually held the pre-conference workshop in the ballroom where the main conference is held. The issue there for us has been our exhibitors are all putting together their exhibits during that time. So we kind of have to work around them and be quiet, and it just became really hard. Well, we were really lucky here in that Utah State, they had a center in the Fine Arts Center, very nice facility, but they remodeled the entire thing, and now it is spectacular. There is a spectacular place, and we are going to move the pre-conference workshop there this year. It seats 1,600. We have 1,200 attendees already signed up for that for the Saturday and Sunday session, so it's going to be jam-packed. The parking we have, we've set up parking real close to that. We've got tents and food and all the typical stuff you think about when you think about small set, and it's going to be really close. So that's going to be great. It will give them a better facility. It will get them closer to the parking, and it will allow us to sort of kind of be loud and during the time that we're setting up all the exhibit space for the exhibitors who roll in on Monday morning. So pretty excited about that.
Okay. Go ahead. But that's for the weekend.
That's for the weekend.
Okay.
Then on Monday, we start with our keynote address. So Dr. Zurbuchen will begin talking about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's in the ballroom, and that'll be it's just jam-packed. It's great. By the way, we're streaming this year. We're going to be streaming all over the conference center.
Okay.
So if you're different locations in the conference center and you don't actually want to go into the room or you have to tend a booth or something like that, you'll be able to hear what he has to say and see, you know, what's going up on the stage. We also have, I wanted to say, one of the things we've done new this year is you can watch SmallSat Live on our website. We've decided to just stream it to the world. So all you have to do is go to our website, and there's a place where you can click on live streaming. You don't even have to be here in Logan. You don't have to pay. You can just watch the conference wherever you want to.
So we can watch the keynote at 1 o'clock.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And you're an hour ahead of California.
And we're on mountain time.
Yeah, right. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, we're on mountain time. So 1 o'clock mountain time, that's when it really gets kicked off. Now, after the keynote address, then we have 2 sessions. We have a year in review, and we actually have another year in review because we have so many great missions that have flown in the past year. But we'll have several papers for a year in review, and then we have a next on the pad. So, you know, what's coming up over the next year? But then we've got to fit in, you know, we got to get enough food in people, so we're going to fit in an ice cream social. And then, of course, after that, then you've got the opening social that night at SDL. Now, the opening social runs from 6:30 to 10. We've got just a ton of food, just a ton of food. We've got drinks. We're going to have 2 bands. We built the Space Dynamics Lab, where we have the opening social, built a new auditorium this year and expanded it dramatically. It is a lot bigger than it used to be. So we're actually going to have a band inside the auditorium and then a band outside the auditorium. And the food we're going to have, we've got this, what we call the Taste of Cache Valley, and we're going to have some of the local foods. We've got chicken and ribs, you know, cheese is a big deal here in Cache Valley. Honey is a big deal. We've got a lot of local chocolates that we're bringing in, and Bear Lake, which is just over the hill. Of course, Bear Lake, some people have been over there. They have a big raspberry celebration each year, and so we're going to have a lot of different things with foods with raspberries and stuff. And if you need a shuttle and you don't want to drive to the party, which is probably a good idea, we have shuttles from the University Inn and from the hotels, most of the hotels in Logan, to and from the social. And they'll run on like a half an hour loop kind of a thing. So, and we'll have schedules up at the conference. So just come find one of our staff and they'll help you get figured out on when those shuttles will come by.
Really upgraded. Very, very cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's going to be cool. It's going to be real cool. So that's Monday, right?
Right.
Monday's going to be a full day. Even though we start at 1, it's going to be a full day. Now, we do have the exhibits that start on Monday at 11 o'clock. Those run from 11 to 5. And we're going to have sort of a kickoff celebration, grab some food reception thing, which starts at 11 o'clock. So, and that's going to be in the exhibits themselves. So we should see a lot of people in the exhibits. That should be pretty cool. But Tuesday, then, that's when we start our full days. We start off with an advanced technology session, which I think you probably remember as it's just a mixture of all sorts of things. You know, it could be satellite propulsion, it could be star cameras, it could be new computers, it could be, you know, whatever. There's a whole lot of different things that we place in those. But then the next theme in the morning on Tuesday is what we call our theme session. The theme session is delivering mission success. And this is all about what you can do to increase your chances of mission success. Everything from design processes to how you test your spacecraft to how you verify that you meet the requirements to operational approaches. So that's going to be a good session. We've had a lot of great papers and a lot of great interest in that theme session. Then, of course, we'll do lunch. We're going to feed everybody as much as we can. And then we do a science and mission payloads. And then we'll do another year in review again just because we have so many good papers that needed to talk about what they were launching on. Now, Tuesday night, we've got a lot of parties. There are a lot of industry parties. There are four large industry parties that are happening around town. One is AGI. They are putting a party on that starts at 6:30 at the Ryder Mansion, which is right down in the middle of Logan. SAB, Avio, and Ariane Spass have teamed up to put one on at 6:30. That's at a place called the Logan House. And FedEx has a party at 7 at Cafe Sabor. Now, those three parties are all within about 5 blocks of one another. So what we'll see is downtown Logan will be filled with small satters walking from one party to another. And then at 7 o'clock, Rocket Lab is going to have a party out at the Riverwood. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So Tuesday, you know, you have a full day, go home, change, and then come out and enjoy. We're going to have a lot of fun. And most people kind of do the rounds, so it's a lot of fun. You get a chance to catch up with people that you don't see very often.
So that is a huge change from the name of who gave the parties out 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, you know, they change, right? They
uh-huh.
change, and people's budgets change. But yeah, these are going to be some pretty good parties, and I'm really looking forward to them. They're fun every year. Then on Wednesday, again, we have another full year. This is what we start off with, another one of our science and mission payloads. And then in the morning, this is when we have our big student competition. Now, this is so the conference has been running. This is our 32nd year, but this is our 26th straight year of student competition. And the industry is phenomenal. This industry has been so good and so gracious to donate money. We were able to give away $30,000 in winnings this year. We had dozens and dozens of papers that were sent in for the student competition. We had a team of six judges that whittled it down to the top six papers. Those six papers will be presented by those students on the stage. About 75% of the scores that we give are based on how good the paper is, and another 25% then is how well they present. So they'll get up on the stage in the morning, and then that afternoon we will give away $30,000 in cash. $10,000 will typically go to the first place winner, and the remaining $20,000 gets spread around the other five. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's all the industry does that. You know, I can't take any credit for that. That is all about what the industry donates. So good on them. Then we've got in the afternoon, we've got a space access session, and that's all about launch. We got some great papers in there. We also have a state of the industry report on small satellite launch vehicles, which kind of gives the general what's happening and what's the lay of the land in small satellite launch vehicles, so that's going to be great. And then we have a ground systems session that's talking about hardware and software, networks, mission operation centers, data analysis centers. That'll be fantastic, so we're excited about that. Then Thursday is our final day, and we start off right in the morning. We have two sessions that day. We start off right in the morning with one that has become more of a important topic the last few years, and this is called Assuring the Space Ecosystem. Last year we had a very similar one, and we get some really good feedback. But this is about space situational awareness, space traffic management, licensing and regulations. It's what we can do to help maintain the sustainability of space. This is good for all of us, right, in this community. Then we have another advanced technology session. In there, we're going to fit in, I don't know if you remember, the AIAA Small Satellite Technical Committee.
Right.
They do a really, really good job they put a Survey Monkey together, and people can actually come in and vote for the Mission of the Year award, and they're going to announce the SmallSat Mission of the Year award and give the award away that day. So we're pretty excited. Lots of people coming to town, full week. A lot of food, a lot of old friends and acquaintances, and we're getting excited.
What happens Wednesday evening? Anything or people on their own in Logan?
Wednesday evening, there will be some parties. We're still trying to work through a little bit of that, but there'll certainly be some parties to go to. But in general, Wednesday is a little bit, I would say, slower night. Most people get together with their old friends. You know, they go out to the bars or go eat dinner or whatever with people they want to catch up with, because the other nights are just so packed with stuff to do. Sometimes you just don't have time to get together and talk with your old friends. So Wednesday night's probably a little bit better night to do that.
Tell people, I asked you earlier, you know, can people still go? Is it too close? This would probably be a good time so that they can still go, they can still stay nearby, so it's not too late to make the decision to come over there, right?
No, it's not. If you want to sign up today, right, you can still sign up for the conference for $675, and you can do that online, right?
Uh-huh.
If you wait until Saturday, and you walk up Saturday, and you want to register on Saturday, it's $800. So if you're going to come, and you know you're going to come now, do it today. It'll save you $125. For students, we have set the rate at $175. So they get a price that's much more in tune with their budget, right?
Uh-huh.
If you want a one day, or if you want to just go to the pre-conference only, the Saturday and Sunday session, it's $300. I think you and I had talked about this before, but we have a retired discount registration fee. So if you're retired from the industry but you still want to come, it's $250. And then we also have spouse and guest tickets for people who'd like to bring a guest to the lunches or maybe to the opening social, and those are $25. So those are all available, and they can still be done today. Now, along with that, people are probably saying, well, what good does it do me if I sign up for the conference but I can't get a hotel room? Well, they're right in that the rooms in the traditional hotels within Logan, Brigham City and Tremont are two small towns which are 20 or 30 minutes from here. They are all full. But on campus, there's still rooms available actually in Ogden. We did a better job this year, I think, of listing and showing all of the hotels nearby that have rooms available and those that were sold out. So if you go to our website, www.smallsat.org, you click on travel and you click on lodging, it lists every single hotel, tells you their availability. If it's sold out, there's a big sold out sign right on it, and you can see instantly where the hotels still have rooms. And it has all their contact information in there. So you should be able to get a hold of those. And we've been trying to keep those up to date every day as much as possible.
And there's always a possibility of a cancellation, I guess, at the last minute.
And there's cancellations once in a while. So, yeah, it probably doesn't hurt to call. Now, the last couple of years, we've had a couple of interesting things happen. One is that there were two very large towers for student housing built right there just off of campus at Utah State. They're within walking distance of the conference, and they have hundreds of rooms. They are kind of in a block room style, but they're very, very nice. I've been in several of those. So they have a sort of a commons area where you can cook and watch TV and stuff, but they all have sort of private bedrooms, and I think for the most part they all have private bathrooms. They have hot tubs. One of the hotel, one of the facilities even has a bowling alley. So it's pretty nice stuff. And we had a lot of our folks stay there last year. This year we've got, we had 200 rooms in one of them. And in the new one, which is called Millennial Towers, they opened up, I think we've got 200 rooms in there, and they may still have close to 100 rooms available. So, again, if you go on our website, you check into the lodging page, you'll see the number to call or how to sign up on there, and there's still plenty of rooms available, so that works out pretty good.
And that's in walking distance to come to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's right there at the campus, so.
They've had side trips and events in the past if you brought family members. Is any of that going on this year?
It's not. We kind of looked at how many people we were affecting, and we decided to change that. It was a lot of work on our staff. We did all sorts of cool stuff. You know, we did four-wheeler rides. We took people fishing. We went out into the, you know, you could go out on a canoe ride. You could go on hikes. There was all sorts of fun stuff to do. But after everybody signed up and we got everybody signed up, we were only impacting about 10% of the attendees. So, you know, if it were 80% or 75%, I would think, okay, that's cool. That's good for the people that come. But when they're all full and I can't put any more people in there and it's only helping 10% of them, I kind of felt like maybe it was a little more work than what it was worth, you know. But back to the hotels for a second. So there's probably going to be some more student housing open up next year. That's a good thing. There was a brand new hotel that just opened in Brigham City. So that's about 25 minutes from here. The Holiday Inn, it opened up, and they've got 120 rooms. And then they are building right in downtown Logan, right when you come into town, there's a new Hampton Inn, and they have 100 new rooms. Now, today it's being built, so you'll see it. You'll see the sheets of plywood, you know, being put up. But they're going to be complete before next year, and I expect that they will be taking reservations sometime before that. So we're excited about the expansion we've got. We literally in the last four years, we probably have had an additional 800 rooms come available that just weren't available before. And there's still plans for another hotel, which are still being worked, but there's plans for another hotel coming to Logan in the next few years. So that'll also be a good thing for us.
So that must indicate they expect this industry and conference to continue to be growing.
Well, and it's not just about the conference. Obviously, they can't make enough money to build a hotel for the whole year, right? But Logan is a pretty, it's kind of a fun place for outdoorsy folks, you know. There's a lot of good skiing here. There's hiking, biking, fishing. So people do like to come here. There are a lot of other conferences. There's none that are as big as SmallSat, but there must be enough that they've decided they can turn a profit on it. So they're building those. Now they do know, they have in their back pocket that for 1 week at least, they'll fill every single room. So that's pretty good for them. But yeah, they've still got a whole lot more weeks during the year that they got to put people in.
I have a question or two for you.
Yeah.
Larry is in Los Angeles, and he said, I'm a space advocate. I listen to a lot of space show programs and really like this industry a lot, and I pay attention to the small satellite and entrepreneurial industry, but I am not technical. So if I were there and I were attending most of the sessions and talking to people, is it extremely technical? Can you wing it if you're not a technical person?
So we are a technical conference, and we've tried to maintain that, right? We're working, by the way, you know, I can talk about that later too. We're working with other conferences that are working on the business aspects, and those are great conferences to go to as well. But we've tried to maintain the technical portion of it. What we do have, though, it's kind of amazing when you look at the mix of people that come to SmallSat. There will be some papers that it, you know, unless it's your area of expertise, it's just over your head. It doesn't matter who you are. There are some talks that you just can't follow. Technical people, you know, will love those things, though. There's a whole lot of presentations that they absolutely love. But we have students here. that are just getting into the business, and you know, their systems are certainly simpler. There is a lot of business development that is done here. There's a lot of side meetings and socials. The reason we, by the way, we always talk about the parties, you know, and that we have these parties. And, oh, by the way, we eat lunch together. You know, we don't say, hey, go downtown for lunch. We eat lunch all together. And the reason we do that is because we want to make as many chances as we can for people to connect with one another. There you will find literally four-star generals here. You'll have majors and captains and colonels. There will be CEOs and vice presidents of companies here. There will be business development teams here. There are a whole lot of things to talk about in the small satellite industry that are way beyond having to deal with some technical jargon that you don't understand. I enjoy that as much as the technical stuff, even though I call myself a technical guy. I guess I used to be. I don't know how much I am anymore, but there's an awful lot to do and talk about for people in the industry who are coming from, you know, like say the commercial, and just talking about the whole approach of how they're making their system work. What are their business models? Because there's, you know, guys like me like to understand those things, and I'm not a business model guy, so I'll often sit down and have discussions with those folks, and I learn a lot. You know, so I think if you're a technical person, you can learn a lot. I think if you're a non-technical person, you can learn a lot. It seems like we have a good enough mix of different people that come here that there's always somebody to talk to that kind of meets your needs.
And, Larry, I can tell you that people are generally very friendly and willing to talk and explain things to you. They do have time, but they probably don't have time to be corralled for the whole day. But, God, over the 17 years, I'm not technical. My background is business and finance and economics. I have learned an enormous on the technical side from just talking to people at SmallSat and other conferences, not just the speakers, but other attendees who have that expertise. And, you know, you can raise your educational level. You don't have to stay non-technical. You're not going to become so technical that you can teach orbital dynamics to a college graduate class, but you can maybe understand why Mars is so close to Earth tonight and so bright in the southern sky, and you could explain it technically to other people so that they could understand it. So I say embrace the technical and make an effort to learn a little bit about it and ask questions.
Yeah, and you know, I was going to say, and I forgot to mention this, but we added the last couple of years, we've added these flash talks.
Uh-huh.
So these are 3 to 4 minute talks where people get up, and it might be on a technical subject, but because it's only 3 to 4 minutes, you've got to hit the high level stuff, right?
Right.
So in 3 to 4 minutes, you can learn a lot about a new technology, a new approach to power generation or you know what I mean, new propulsion systems or missions that are going interplanetary now, small satellite missions that are going interplanetary. There's a whole lot you can learn and not have to just get down into the weeds of the technical stuff.
Are they planned, or can anyone, even an attendee, just get up and give a flash talk?
Oh, no, they're planned.
Okay.
Yeah, they're planned. Yeah. Now we take abstracts for those. And so we've seen them. Every paper that is presented, every poster that is given, every flash talk, those are all very, very planned and well thought out. We have an entire committee, literally from all over the world, that helps us figure out how to put the agenda together. We try to ensure that we're doing what's best for the industry. We're here just as a forum, you know, to support the industry wherever it goes. We want to go. If there's topics that's hot on their minds, we make sure that we get things into the conference that are hot on their minds. But anyway, it's very well planned, and if you want to get something in, then you're going to have to probably wait till February when we take abstracts again for next year.
Linda's in Boston and says, I'll look at the live cam, that's for sure, but how can people get copies of the proceedings or the papers, or can they?
Oh yeah. So I'm so glad she raised that question, because about it must have been about 3 years ago, we decided that we just wanted to be the place to have the repository where all of the information that the small cell that had ever been discussed at Small Cell Conference was available. So we worked with Utah State. Utah State put a big repository together for us. You can get all the proceedings. You can actually go to the website, www.smallsat.org, click on proceedings. You can see every single paper. You can see every single presentation that has been given since the very first conference in 1987. And it's all free. It's all free. And so you can watch the conference live this year online, and you can look back and do research and see everything you want for free. Since we started doing that, you know, I figured, okay, there'll be some people who are interested. We download, we see about 13,000 to 14,000 downloads per month. Every month, people are downloading 13,000 to 14,000 downloads from our proceedings site every single month. So it's a pretty hot area, and if you're doing research in the small satellite area, it's a good place to go look, right?
And you don't have to have been a conference registrant.
Nope.
Or any, just anyone.
Anybody in the world.
Anybody
in the world can get online, go on there, and grab stuff for free.
Are you still AIAA associated with?
Yep, we are. Uh-huh.
You mentioned other conferences that you team up with. How does that play out with SmallSat?
So this has been really, really helpful for us. You know, I live here in the United States, and, you know, I focus on what's happening here in this country, right? But we teamed up. It was back in, 2000, the late 2000s, 2007, 8, or 9. We teamed up with what I guess now you would call them sister conferences. But the first one we teamed up with was the European Space Agency has a conference called the 4S Conference. Small Satellite Systems and Services Symposium. That happens every other year, so that happens on the even years. That happened this past spring in Italy, I believe it was. I wasn't able to attend, but Dr. Luca Maresi, he runs that that conference, and he is the head of optics for the European Space Agency. He sits on our panels. He helps us select our programs. He reads abstracts. He is as involved in our conference as anybody on our committee. And to return the favor, we do the same thing for him. We help him choose his abstracts, et cetera. It's really, really good for the community, right?
Uh-huh.
They support us. We support them. There's another very important one that we teamed up with about the same time. It's the International Academy of Astronautics Small Satellite Conference in Berlin. And that is held on the odd years. Dr. Rainer Sandow, he is now with the IAA, but he's the retired chief scientist of the German Space Agency. And same thing, he helps ours, we help his. He's actually going to be here this year. He's gonna be one of our session chairs. And these guys are just, you know, these guys are in it for the good of the industry. It really is really helpful to all of us because they help me and the rest of our committee understand what is important in other parts of the world that, you know, we might not know about, right? Now, there's another great one, which we just formed an alliance with a few years ago, and this is the Silicon Valley Symposium. Silvano Payne, who you know, is the CEO of SatNews, and they focus on the business aspects. We've had a tremendous alliance with them. He actually came out and helped us last year, and they did a panel session. And they talked about business. They talked about how you get investors. They talked about what investors are looking for. And we do the same thing for them. We come out and we do some technical things for them, so that's good. And that's just been super, super helpful. They really are good at the business aspects, and we're trying to focus what we're good on, which is the more technical aspects. Now, another one which in the last few years has become more important for us is the Air Force Research Lab conference in Maui. It's called the AMOS conference. And Dr. Paul Kerbin is the guy who runs that conference. And the focus there is on space situational awareness. But as you know, with all of the small satellites that are now being launched and the crazy amount of small satellites that are being considered to be launched, space situational awareness is a super big deal right now, right? So you have the SSA community who is trying to figure out how they're going to track and catalog all of these small satellites. And then on the other hand, you've got the small satellite community saying, well, what can we do to help? You know, are there things that we can do? Is there information we can share? Are there maybe things we can put on the satellite that can help? So we've really started to form a dialogue between the technical folks of the two conferences, and it's been super, super helpful. I think our small set attendees have gained a good perspective as to what the space situational awareness community is looking for, and I think the SSA community has gained a pretty good perspective on what we're up against. You know, when you're flying a loaf of bread, you just don't have a whole lot of volume in there to place things to make you more trackable. So it's been a great dialogue, and I just have really, really appreciated the chance to work with all these guys. They're sharp, they know what they're talking about, and they add a great benefit to our conference.
I have another, I think, interesting question. Jack is in Silicon Valley, and he says, I'm curious if the DIY segment is at all there, because DIY really gets people interested in this, and then they go into business with it, maybe after grad school or something like that, but they got their start with DIY or Maker Faire. Is there any component like that with the SmallSat Conference?
DIY as in do-it-yourself?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, so there will be some of those folks here, but we don't actually segment it off that way, right? We put together the technical sessions, and then in some cases they will present papers in those sessions.
Uh-huh.
But we don't specifically set them aside and say this is a DIY time, right?
Uh-huh.
They just mingle with the rest of the conference goers just like everybody else does.
And they usually are identifiable, by the way, listeners or Jack. You don't usually have a whole big deal about spotting them or finding these people to talk to, and that they're connected with these things all around the country. So even if you're not in California or Silicon Valley, they could tell you what's going on in Dallas, for example.
Yeah, right, right.
But they are there. They'll be in the exhibit halls and around the food for sure.
Yeah. There's another thing I should mention about the conference. We are space limited. You know, we don't have a massive exhibit hall and a massive hotel and everything put together like you would in a bigger city. And I think there's pros and cons to that. One is that it's probably a little bit more congested than you know, most conferences you would attend. But on the other hand, if you are looking for somebody, if there is somebody that you want to talk to, even though there'll be 2,700 people here, you're going to see them. Because we are you have the ballroom where the sessions are. You walk right outside the ballroom and you are instantly you don't walk 50 yards, you walk 5 feet and you are instantly in the exhibit space. There's one exhibit space where we probably have to walk 50 yards to get into the big field house, but, there's some great stuff going on in there. And so between all of that, and then as well, we all have lunch together. Everybody goes to lunch at the same time. So we take them all out on the quad. By the way, the weather's supposed to be good. I checked the weather forecast. I'm so excited. It's supposed to be like low 90s the whole week. Right now it says no chance of rain, but we'll see. But, you know, people get opportunities to run into people that they want to talk to. And we think that's an advantage to being in a location we're at.
Absolutely. It certainly is, for that matter. Another question is from Beverly, and speaking of Dallas, she is in Dallas, and she says it used to be that there was a reputation at SmallSat where students and others who were somewhat qualified or very well qualified could go talk to different companies in the exhibit hall and end up getting an interview and hired right at SmallSat. Does that still happen, or is it too big?
Yes, it does. It happens every day.
So it still goes on?
Oh, it happens every day. Well, look, the first part of that is our industry is booming. And every corporation, every organization that I know of seems to be looking for good talent, right? Whether it's senior talent or young talent, they are looking for good people. We have something like 15 different student exhibit areas where you've got students talking about their missions. So you know, they're there. They've rehearsed their talk. They know exactly what's going on. They were the engineer on that program. And they can, and you know, so a lot of these folks who are looking for students, they'll walk over and talk to them and ask them a lot of questions. That's basically, you're basically getting an interview right there. The other thing, which I have literally seen dozens of times, the six people who get up on stage and present at SmallSat for a student competition, I have had so many times where they get up and present. They do a great job because these are the top talent in the world, really. They do a great job. They come off the stage. They're talking to somebody. I had one lady that I wanted to try and hire one time, and I waited until the afternoon, and I thought I would go talk to her and see if she would be interested in coming to work for us. And she had already accepted a position that she had been offered an hour earlier.
Amazing.
So it happens. You know, it really happens.
Absolutely amazing.
We also have, you know what else that I forgot to tell you? I'm sorry.
What?
We also have a job board, right?
Okay.
We even like student-specific side meetings. So there's a job board if you're looking for a job, if somebody's looking for somebody to get together, that's easy to do. We can make that happen. There is also a side meeting that we have called the Next Gen Night Out, and that's on Sunday night, but that is a networking for young professionals. I think you have to be younger than 35 to attend that. But there will be generals and leaders of the industry there, and you get a chance to rub shoulders with some of these folks, and that's another chance to be able to sort of showcase what you know, and oftentimes they'll help you make contacts.
Well,
those folks are just there to help, you know. And if they like you, they might hire you. But if they think there's a good fit with you somewhere else, they know a lot of people in the industry. They can help you get a job.
I better brush up on my comb over so I can attend.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Meeting, right.
Exactly.
See if I can qualify. You have another email, and I know we're coming up close on the hour. So Randy's in Tucson, and he says the new Trump administration seems to have a big push for commercial space. And it has a National Space Council that's helping on this. Do you have any contact with them, with the SmallSat industry or this conference? Is anyone from government or the National Space Council or anything like that coming or that you know of will be there? Do they care about SmallSat or even know about it?
Oh, no. They definitely know about it. They care about it. But I will not probably have any contact with those folks. We have people from all over the industry. There are many of my friends I've known from the Washington D.C. area that have supported some of those space councils and are in the know on some of those things. They will be here. There are always people here. There are people here from policy, Undersecretary of Defense Policy. There will be a contingent here, but personally, I don't know many of those folks. I know three or four of them, but if you happen to know some of those folks, they'll be here. They certainly do have a care, and they get it, because when you look at what's happening with some of these mega constellations, people are calling them, that are being envisioned and are being worked, and hopefully we will start seeing some successes of these big constellations in the future. There's interest from all over the country because they want to take advantage of those things and take advantage of those capabilities, whether it's, you know, imaging the Earth on a more frequent basis or using the bandwidth that this Internet in the sky stuff's going to offer. I think there's good things there for a whole host of different folks.
Probably one more question that has come in from John in Denver. And he says, is this industry that's booming primarily American, or are you seeing components of it coming from Europe or other areas so that it's truly now a multinational industry, or do you think it's still largely focused on America? I see even Surrey Satellites manufactures and is here in the Denver area.
Well, it's multinational. It's just unquestionable. We'll have 40 different countries represented here this year. The European Space Agency has a big contingent here. Maybe the biggest contingent comes from the Japanese Space Agency, from JAXA. They will have something like 50 attendees coming.
Wow.
From JAXA. Yeah. You know, we always have the folks from Surrey. They have been, the folks from Surrey have just been a tremendous part of this conference, even since day one. But we'll have folks from Germany, England, Scotland, South Africa. We're starting to see a lot of influence now from South America. Argentina and Brazil are sending folks now. Australia, you know, Australia just stood up, I think it was on the first of the month, Australia just stood up a space force of some sort.
Right,
and
I know that.
They have been sending folks fairly regularly every year. So it's pretty multinational. And I know there's even some folks, like I'm thinking about David Voss down at the Air Force Research Lab. They are working very closely to develop partnerships with other countries in Europe and I think even Norway and Switzerland and places like that. So it is certainly becoming multinational, and I would say it's not just a U.S. thing anymore.
Another question before I ask you for a summary, doesn't really have anything to do with the conference, but you and your staff are so busy. Have you rewarded yourselves and gone out and looked at how close Mars is in your southern sky?
I haven't, but I'm going to.
Tonight's the closest night, Pat.
As soon as I get off the phone here, I'm going to walk outside.
Yeah, take your staff out. Tonight is the closest night.
Okay, we'll do that.
You have to do that.
Thank you.
Anything we've missed not talking about? Anything that you want to make sure we're aware of?
I don't think so. I think people get it. You know, we're here as a forum for the industry. That's all we do. You know, we just want all the world's experts to come here, and they do. And we're super excited about it. It is a, although it feels kind of big, it really is kind of a smaller community. And, you know, you develop relationships with these folks. You see them at four or five conferences in a row, and pretty soon you make friendships. And some of these friendships extend all over the world. And it's pretty cool to be able to see people come back, and you actually can talk about their families and how their lives are going. And then you can be a nerd and talk about small fat stuff too, but it's great. I love what I'm doing. We love what we're doing. Our team is great, and we're excited for next week.
One more kind of quick question: is the audience? I guess the audience or the attendees, is it aging for the conference, or do you notice that it's creeping down to be a little bit younger?
Younger.
Well, that's good news.
Younger. Yes. I think when you think about the all of the hands-on education that is now happening because of the lower cost and the ability for universities to actually build and work on small satellite programs at their universities, and because of the I kind of want to lump it into the responsive timelines, but because of the shorter development cycles, you know, you can have a student come in as a sophomore, and by the time they're a senior, you know, they can go through an entire design-build test of a satellite.
And
right?
Fly it, and they can fly it.
In some cases, they fly it. In some cases, they don't, because it's hard to get a ride once in a while. But the point is, when they graduate, they just spent 3 years getting comfortable with small satellites. So when they get a job, they're going. You know, it's a world they understand. There's a lot of energy. A lot of these small companies that are popping up have, I call them kids. They're not kids, but, you know, they're much younger than I am, and they are doing amazing things. And, they come here, and it's a super energetic conference because of that. And I am just I'm just enjoying the heck out of it.
Do you have the dates for 2019?
2019, August 3rd through the 8th, man. We've got them scheduled out for like 5 years.
August 3rd.
I don't
3rd.
Know what the other ones are, but, yeah, August 3rd to the 8th.
Okay.
Same time, same place next year, and I hope to see you here.
Absolutely. And listeners, if you're attending and going, I'd love to hear from you. And so call us with an open line show, or maybe we can do a host show and you can give us a rundown on it. Pat, we thank you very much. We know it'll be a great conference. And next year, I sure hope I can be there if things work out for me and my family. So I really hope so. And great to your staff for helping me put the program together with you again this year. And I know it's going to be a wonderful conference, and I'm going to tune in on the live streaming as much as I can.
You bet. Please do. It's great to have you. Thanks for having me.
Okay. My pleasure. And, listener, one more thing, and that is I want to thank our sponsors for tonight, Northrop Grumman, AIAA, Celestis, the Space Development Network, National Space Society, Integrated Space Plan, and the Space Foundation. Everybody have a great week. No Hotel Mars tomorrow. Bachelor's out of town. Come back Friday morning for the next Space Show program. Everybody have a great rest of the week. Goodbye from Pat, David, and the Space Show.